Okay, boys. Today's daf is daf Ayin Tes. We're holding three lines from the bottom of Ayin Ches Omid Beis, and the Gemara is going back on our Mishnah. In fact, for an easy segue in today's Gemara, why don't we just quickly go over the first part of the Mishnah once again? Mm-hmm. Start the Mishnah about 10-12 lines from the bottom of the Omid. Zok the Mishnah: Charitz Shebein Beis Chatzeres. You have a charitz, a ditch, between two chatzeres, which is Omuk Yud, 10 tvachim deep, v'roichev dalid, and it's 4 tvachim wide. Because of that, it's almost like a wall, but it's not a wall that goes up, it's a wall that goes down into the ground, because it's a ditch, and because it's 4 wide, one cannot easily go from one side to the other, because you cannot jump that far. At least most people cannot jump the equivalent of roughly 16 inches. And even if you can, it's with some difficulty. Anyway, says the Mishnah, because of the Ma'arav and Shnayim, it's like a wall, it's like a proper mechitza, and therefore you can only be Ma'arav two separate Erevin, one for Chatzer A and one for Chatzer B. Be Ma'arav and Echan, you cannot go and be Ma'arav together as one. Then the Mishnah says, Afilo Molikash Oiteven, even if the Chritz has a filler in it, and the filler is Kasher Tevin, which is different types of straw, it's still considered to be a wall. Why don't you say that since there's a filler there, so there's no longer Chritz? You can easily walk on it or go over it. What's the problem? And Rashi says the reason is because Soifai Litloi. Normally Kasher Tevin has other usages. Rashi here on the Omid Aleph, which we're going to see soon, says that you can go and give it as machal behema, you can go and serve it to your animals. So it's not going to stay there. The person is not mevatel it, and it's not considered to be a halachic filler. However, mali offer oitzroi rice, if it's full of dirt or it's full of stones or pebbles, then you have, if you will, filled up the entire chritz. And now you can properly walk over it. It's now ground level, the entire area from Chatzer A to Chatzer B, and the chritz in the middle is all nice and flat now, because it's mali ofer, it's right. Then Ma'arav and Echad, then there is no wall separating A from B. They are all united as one. You can only make one united Erev, the Eimah Ma'arav and Shtayim. You can't be Ma'arav two separate Erev. So what do we see from our Mishnah? We see that automatically, just the fact that it's full of offer, it's roi rice, that's enough of a reason to say that the two chatzeres are now chatzer echad, they've united as one, and you can only make one erev. So skipping down to the bottom of the Amid, Maloi offer, says the Gemara of Afilu Bistama. From the likes of our Mishnah, it sounds like just the fact that there's offer or tzroiris, that alone makes it into an acceptable filler. You don't have to make a special declaration of annulment. You don't have to say, I'm being mevatel, the offer or tzroiris. It's automatic. Once the offer tzroiris are there, it's automatic a filler. Frankly, more about Tanan. But we have a Mishnah in Mesechta Seholois, in a totally different area of Shas, having to do with Tumah. What's the din of the Tumah? So, just a very short, brief Hakdama introduction. In the Mishnah, in Mesechta Seholos, it says that if Chas V'Shalom a person passes away, then we all know that the house in which the mess lies, it's a bias of Tomei, of Tomei mess. However, the Mishnah says over there, what happens if you fill up the entire house so that there is no tefach of ear left? Meaning that the mess is never clear on the ground, and you fill up the whole house, for instance, with tevin or troiters or anything else, from the floor to the ceiling, and you don't even have the space of a tefach, then the Tumah says, I have nowhere to go, you are suffocating me, there's no room, and the Tumah is bikas v'oyle. It bursts out through the ceiling, and if somebody happens to be, for instance, on top of the roof, or he's flying over the roof, jumping over the roof, he's going to become Tamei because he is now on top of this oil mess. However, if you have a situation where you've left a tefach of open space within the oil, within the place where the mess lies, then the tumah remains within the oil hames and does not burst out. It remains inside that oil, inside that bias. Aha. So now, looking now at the Mishnah, Zok the Mishnah, what tanam, we learn in the Mishnah, Besech Seichol is bias, a house, a mil oil that you filled it up with, teven, straw, oitzroiris, with pebbles. Ubitloi, and you will mevatel it. Mevatel means that you said, bepemole, Rabbi Isai, I want you to know, I don't need this teven, I don't need these troiris, I'm leaving it here, I'm annulling them, I don't care about them, they are staying here. Then what happens? Ubitloi, bottle. Then it becomes bottle. Bottle means it is, now I have filled this house with the teven or the troiris, and now the tumor will be bekas v'oila, it's going to burst out from the roof to higher, to anybody on or near the roof, is going to become tummy. So baish malo teven etzroiris bitloy bottle. So the Gemara is medayik bitloy in. It's only because he said bepem molay. He's saying expressly, I am being mevatelit loy bitloy. But if he didn't say anything, then loy. Then it, in fact, we do not have a situation where the tumah is bekas v'oila and that it bursts out. It remains inside the oil, because the assumption is that eventually he's going to take the teven or tzroiris out of this bias. And he did not intend to be mevatel it forever, but rather it's just there, temporary. Aha. So what do I see from that Mishnah in Masechtas Eholos? That even when it comes to tzroiris, remember our Mishnah is talking about offer or tzroiris, even when it comes to tzroiris, when is it bottle? Not automatically, bistama, only if you say v'pem mole out loud, I'm expressly being mevatel these tzroiris to this bias. It's doch schwer, our Mishnah said even bistama, just having the offer or tzroiris on their own without saying anything, it's already a good filler. Why don't you have to be mavatel it bepet? Om Ravuna, man tanei holis Reb Yosi, the Tana of Masechta Seholis that we just brought, that's Reb Yosi. The which Reb Yosi we'll see momentarily. Says the Gemara, E Reb Yosi, if you really believe that our Mishnah goes according to Reb Yosi, let's look at Masechta Seholis in a Braisa, and there Ibcha Shemin and Lei. And there, in fact, we have Reb Yosi Beferish, and it says just the opposite. Desanya, what does it say just the opposite? Reb Yosi Oimer, this is a Braisa again in Eholot, says Reb Yosi, Teven, the Ein Oselefan Noisoi, what happens if you have Teven straw, and you don't intend moving it out, you intend leaving it there? Rashi says the person did not make any declaration Beferish, but rather, we happen to know that he doesn't need it, because Teven, Rashi explains later, was typically given to the animals for cattle fodder. So maybe this person didn't own any animals. Or maybe he had plenty of animals, but he had plenty of fodder and he didn't need this Teven. For whatever reason, he didn't make any express statements, but we know his conduct and he's not interested in that Teven. So Ein Osel Fanois, he doesn't intend moving it out. Hari Hu, what is the status of this Teven? It's Kistam offer u bottle. It's like stam offer. Means it would be as if this teven was not straw, it was offer. It's stam, without making any statements whatsoever, it's automatically bottle. What do I see from this, Reb Yosi? We're going to learn the next part of the Brice in a moment. But I already see from the ratio of Reb Yosi that stam offer is bottle. You don't have to make any statements. You don't have to say any hirotzoin, you don't have to give a clap on the table and say, Rabbi Yisai, I want you to know, I'm a vatalit, stam offer is bottle. Now that's obviously not the same as the Mishnah that we have here on the bottom of Ayin Ches, where the Mishnah said, Baish malo teven oitzroiris, o bit loy bottle, you gotta be mevatelit beferish bepeh, expressly, explicitly. And here it says, no, stam offer is bottle. In fact, it's a pella that Rav Huna said that the Mishnah Masechta Seholos is Reb Yosi, when I have a Befeidish Abraisa where Reb Yosi says just the opposite. So Toisus is bothered by this. If you look at the first full Toisus here, Ayin Tes Amud Aleph, says Toisus, Aval Pi Shloi Hoyu Yedea Braisa Zu Dikamaisi. Rav Huna did not know of this Braisa. Yedea Hoyu Shereb Yosi Diber Al Hahi Mishnah De'eholos. He knew that Reb Yosi had expressed views about the Mishnah down below in Eichalos, and therefore he assumed that if he expressed views, then it's a good likelihood that in fact the Tana of that Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi. But the truth of the matter is, it's not. So it's not that Rav Huna made a mistake and thought, oh, it's Rav Yossi, and then we told him, Rav Yossi says just the opposite. Rav Huna, in fact, didn't know for sure who the Tana was, but he knew that there's a Rav Yossi out there that speaks about our Mishnah. He said, well, in all likelihood, that's probably Rav Yossi. So in fact, if you look at Rashi in the second line, Rashi doesn't go through the 6-7 lines of Tosis back and forth. Rashi just says, very bekitzur, he heard that Rabbi Yossi also talks about these in Yonim, about houses that have been filled with either Tevin or Troiris or Ofar. Do you have to be Mavatl? Don't you have to be Mavatl? So he just assumed that since I know there's Rabbi Yossi that talks about it, is a good chance, at least a 50-50 chance, that he is the Tana of this Mishnah. But in fact, now that we have exposed the Braisa, we've disclosed the Braisa, it's crystal clear from the Braisa that Rabbi Yossi is in fact not the Tana of the Mishnah in Eicholos, because that Tana requires an affirmative, express, explicit declaration of Bitul, while Rabbi Yossi in this Braisa says no, Ofer Bistam is already bottled. And continuing on that same Braisa, Ofer v'yosel lefanoisoi, if you had Ofer in the same house, we're talking Nochmul, the same house, Nebuchadnezzar, the mess, and there's Ofer there, v'yosel lefanoisoi, he intends to remove the Ofer, even though he didn't make any statement, but we know he's probably going to take the Ofer out. Harihu kistam teven, then it's like regular teven that you didn't do anything with, you just have teven there, the light bottle, it doesn't become bottle. Anyway, so one thing we see for sure is that the Mishnah Masechta Eicholos is not Rabbi Yossi, El Omrav Asi Mantana Eiravin Rabbi Yossi. Oh, not that Rabbi Yossi is the Tana of the Mishnah in Eicholos, Rabbi Yossi is the Tana of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah that when it comes to Ofer Oitzroirois, we said in the Mishnah automatically Me'arvin Echad, Ve'im'arvin Shnayim, even without a Bitul. That's Rabbi Yossi of the Braisa. Rabbi Yossi of the Braisa says that Stam Ofer is bottle. Not that you have to say anything expressed, no declarations. Automatically, inherently, Stam Ofer is bottle. So, our Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi. That's Teretz number one to the Kasha. So remember, we asked the Stira. Our Mishnah says it's bottle automatically. The Mishnah in Masechta Eicholos says you have to say an express declaration. Says our Gemara, it's a Machloikis. And our Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi that doesn't require an express declaration. But the Gemara gives now two other answers. Answer number two is Rav Huna Barei Rav Yeshua Amar Tumah HaShabbos Karamis. You're asking a kasha from Tumah on Shabbos. The two are totally unrelated. Hanach Isra Shabbos Tafilu Arnaki Nami Mevatel Inish. What does the Gemara mean to say? The Gemara means to say is when you're talking about a case of the Tumas Mess, and this bias is full of offer, Itaka don't know what his intentions are. Does he want to leave the offer? Is he going to take the offer out? Does he have to make an express declaration? Not make an express declaration, because over there I don't know what his kavanah is. Here, when we're talking about Shabbos, everybody knows that Ofer and Troiris are automatically muktza. You're not allowed to go and pick up earth on Shabbos. You're not allowed to pick up stones on Shabbos. They are muktza. So it's automatically muktza. You don't have to make a special declaration. Rabbi say, I want you to know, I hereby solemnly declare in front of all of you esteemed individuals that I'm a vatel the Ofer Troiris. For purposes of Shabbos, Kodesh Ofer Troiris are automatically batel because they are muktza. Rashi, the Gemara says, even an arniki, a person has a valuable wallet which has in it hundreds of dollars. He normally wouldn't be mafker, it wouldn't be mavatel it, but for Shabbos, as far as he's concerned, it's batel kafer da'ar. I can't touch it because it's muktza. So therefore, it's as if he was mavatel. So that's why in our Mishnah, stam ofer troiris is batel. In case of the Mishnah Eicholos, he has to make an express declaration. Ravashi gives a third teretz, bayis a charitz karamis. You're asking a kasha from a bayis to a charitz. Beishleim a charitz. Charitz is a ditch in the ground. L'metam yekoi. You don't normally leave those things open. Eventually, you fill them up. And you see, oh man, you see all the time they're digging up West End Avenue and they're making holes and they're putting down wires and they're putting down pipes or whatever. So it's open, but eventually they're going to go and close it. You can't leave it open, otherwise it's a chas v'shalom danger. People might fall into it.
Barbershus Arabim,
exactly right. So avad l'mitami koi, the whole purpose of putting in offer tzroiris in the charetz is to go and fill it up. Elabayis l'mitami koi, if a person fills up his house with tzroiris or with tevin, do you think he wants to leave it there permanently? There must be some reason why he's storing it there, but eventually, even if he is going to leave it there for the rest of his life, if somebody's eventually going to take it out, the next buyer, the next tenant, whoever's going to live there, he's not going to want to have a house full of tevin or tzroiris, so eventually it's going to be removed. So when would you say that it's batel? Oh, if he's mavatel and he says, I make a declaration that I am being mavatel, it's a different story. But normally, it wouldn't be considered an automatic thing. Okay, continue on. Now we said in the Mishnah that if they put on a board, a nasor, from one side of the chritz to the other side of the chritz, so that now you're able to go and walk over that board, and the board has to be at least 4 tvachim wide, so the person is not concerned that he might fall to the right or to the left. It's a wide enough board. So it says the Mishnah then, that's an effective Pesach, and if you want, you can be Ma'ariv Echad, or if you want, you can be Ma'ariv Shnayim. So now, when we're putting the Nasr down, you have to think in your minds, you're putting it perpendicular to the Charitz. Right? The Charitz is a fairly lengthy Charitz, from one end of the Chatzar to the end of the end of the Chatzar. And now you're taking this relatively narrow Nasr, you're taking the length of the Nasr, and you're putting it to the width of the Charitz, in other words, in a perpendicular fashion, to be able to cross over from one end to the other. Oh, so we have the benefit of a beautiful picture, but that picture is going to be the next Tikkun Gemara.
But it's still, it's the same idea, though, of the width.
Okay, well, let's talk about it in a moment. So, we're still going to get a full picture here. We're going to get a full picture of what's going on. Anyway, so the point, it's all fake news. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Omar Rava, Leishanu Elishanosan Lerochboy. When does this Nasr help if you put the board perpendicular to the Orech, to the length of the Charitz? You took the length of the board, turned it around, and now it's covering the width of the Charitz, so that it's a nice gesher, a nice bridge to be able to go and cross over.
It's not a plank, it's a board.
It's a board. If instead of taking it and putting it to the width, you put it to the length, in other words, you're putting the board smack on top of the opening of the charitz, and you're thinking to yourself, one second, if this is 4 and that is 4, doesn't that sound like it's going to fall in? So Rashi said you put it with your seidos. You say this means you hold it up with some sort of nails or pegs or some way that it's going to hold up. Then I feel the kol shunami. Then even if it's not 4 tefachim wide, even if it's only 1 tefach wide, that would also be successful. Shar miyatoy midalid. Because what you've done now is you've taken the width of this charitz and now you've narrowed it. Instead of being 4 tefachim wide, it's only 3 tefachim wide. And now that it's less than 4, you can walk over and sprint over it because it's not such a wide 16-inch, approximately 16-inch, depending if you hold the Chazonish here, Rav Noah here. But if you hold it, a tefach is 4 inches, so then you have 16 inches. Try jumping or sprinting for 16 inches, and you see that? It's a fair sprint. However, if it's only 12 inches, or only 8 or 10, then ishkefelech, and then you just, you know, spread your leg a little bit, then you're already over on the other side. So now, for that picture, now we have the benefit of the beautiful picture that was shown to us just a moment ago by none other than our Chushe
Be'uri. It's a different printing. It's like the same idea here.
Yeah. Same idea. This is a newer version.
Yeah, right.
A newer version. They have a more,
all the same. Okay.
Yeah, more developed pictures. Mm. But anyway, for those of you that love pictures, pictures worth 1,000 words, you have, this is the charitz in white, and then you have this ledge sticking out, this nasser.
It's a better picture.
Okay, maybe better or worse. Like, we can argue about it. But anyway, the point is that this is narrowed considerably, the width of the ditch, and since it's narrowed it, so then you can easily walk over, and it's no longer a 4 tefachim wide ditch, it's only 2 or 3 tefachim, and then it's miyatoy midalit, now it's an effective Pesach, and you can go and make one Erev together, the two different chateres. And the next case of the Mishnah is V'chein shnei gezuz troy zukene gezu. Till now we spoke about the chritz. Gezuz troy means when you have, for instance, a terrace or a porch, which is you live on the second or third floor, and you have this porch or terrace sticking out. You might even build your sukkah there, assuming that the person on top of you doesn't have the same type of gezustra immediately above you. So here too, you want to be able to go an erev from one person's apartment to another person's apartment. They both conveniently have terraces which are parallel to one another, out up in the heavens, one or two or three floors up. If you go and put a nas, if you put a good strong board, make sure it's very strong board, in between those, that you're able to walk from one gezistra to another gezistra, that was also effective to make a Pesach, to be able to make an Erev. But it's got to be zu keneged zu, for obvious reasons. Because if one porch is over there, and one terrace is over there, then you know, you're going to have to fly across, a board is not going to do the trick.
What were you carrying inside what now? What you're making you be ma'arav, but these are two homes. Where's the chatzar that you're now, what are you carrying between the two rishus yachids? Is that what we're talking about?
You want to be able to ma'arav the two together in one rishus yachid. Everybody else has contributed. However, you don't have right of way from one house to the other house, mm-hmm. except through this gezustra mechanism. So if I wanted to go and bring something to your house, or you want to bring to my house, we don't have a common courtyard, so to speak, to be able to get one to the other. So if we put this board, then we can unite together and make one Erev, so I should be able to...
The chotzer didn't have to have two houses, and so wasn't there any...
In a sense, this is like there's a chotzer below, but neither of us have access to get from that chotzer to the other one. In other words, probably the doorways to their apartments are in the other direction, so they don't have a common courtyard, but what they do have in common is
the balconies.
Yes.
Is this a minimum shear? Because doesn't it make sense just put the board over the whole thing, or did I miss some point earlier?
Four tefachim is unquestionably the minimum shear for these gezutra. It would be much healthier and much safer to have a plank, not a plank, but a board that was 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 tefachim wide, so you certainly don't have to worry.
This is just a theoretical, because normally you cover the so people can walk.
Yeah.
Well, what's the point of having a unified eruv if you can't actually physically walk? And here's some chayah, but here's my talis.
Exactly. Well, in the case of the charitz in the ground, that's easy. Just put your board there. Worst comes to worst, you know. It's
just looking at this. It's kind of like it's like theoretical. Just like.
But you're looking at the charitz case. You have to go to the next page.
Am I in the wrong case?
And not chas v'shalom. You're doing a beautiful job. Now we're talking about.
No,
yes, you are. Now you're talking about the porches that are sticking out, or balconies sticking out from one to the other, and now you want to walk from one balcony to the other. No, you're doing great. If you would be asleep, chas v'shalom, you'd fall down from the balcony. Chas v'shalom. So therefore, you have so you have this board that connects the two, and now you're able to make an Eder from one to the other, to be able to carry the Kiddush from A to B and B to C from both sides.
We had two houses with an adjoining door.
Mm hmm.
It's an easier case.
If you have just regular two houses, like two chatzeiros, which have a door in between, so if you leave the door locked at all time, okay, so if you leave the doors locked at all time, they never allow for any access one way or the other, then you can't be ma'arif. However, if you allow this door to be opened, so then it's a Pesach between the two, then you could be ma'arif together as one. You can make a ruvi chatzeiros, correct. Mash'en kain, here, the two on the balconies, I have no other way of getting from one apartment to the other apartment. Oh, you have you put a board there. Once you can put a board
some
there.
Some form of the mavet to a chatzar, that a chatzar has to have certain.
Yeah, I think we're talking about a much simpler, more primitive case. Just these two people, no thousand other people, no mavets. Okay. They just are trying to move one to the other to be able to carry from one to the other so they can go and put the board up. And then, yes.
It's still a dangerous situation because from these four pictures.
They had nets below.
They had nets. There was a trampoline. There was a trampoline.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm joking. But
I want a serious answer.
The next edition is going to have a.
The next.
They're going to have a.
I have to go out to the trampoline and buy a better.
Yeah.
How about if you just tell me?
No, you're doing fine. Here, you have the two. You see the two houses, and you see these two balcony sticking out.
Yeah.
Now, these two are parallel to one another.
I'm jumping from this to this.
You're jumping. We're not jumping. What's missing is the board that is connecting the two.
Okay.
Here you could put a board easily. The next case is talking that one is a little bit higher and the other is a little bit lower.
But I'm also looking at these two at the bottom. It's like you have to have a major board there between the two.
No question. It's got to be a board which is solid. I mean, the Gemara doesn't tell that it's got to be made out of solid materials. It's going to be some soft plastic.
This looks like I have an intention to have an A-roof, but if I want to put a board, I will. But I don't have to because I've made an error because I'm sticking out of it.
Anyway, the point of the Gemara is that it says in the Mishnah, "Zustroy zu keneged zu." They have to be parallel to one another. So, Omer Rava, "Hodi Amr zu keneged zu, ein in." I'm sorry, "Hodi Amr zu keneged zu, in zu shulei keneged zu loy." What happens if the two are not parallel, but they are one to the side and one to the other side? They're not parallel to one another. Rashi says, for instance, here one is sticking out, one a little bit further than the other. Then, so they're not exactly parallel, or zulamalamizu. One could be higher, one could be lower. In other words, one could be on the third floor, one is on the second floor, from opposite houses. Right? If in the same house, third and second floor, would be difficult to go from one to the other. But if it's across the street, or it's the next house right next to you, and that is a slightly higher, then you wouldn't be able to go and put down a board to be able to go and walk from the other, to carry from one to the other. That would be a very dangerous situation. So Zokti Gemara says Rava, that we're saying it has to be mamish, parallel to one another, and it cannot be shaloi keneged zu, and it cannot be zu lemalamizu, lo yamoran elishiyesh bein zeh lo zeh shaloi shetvachim. If the distance that we're talking, for instance, in zu lemalamizu, that the one that is higher than the other is three tvachim or more higher. But what happens if it's only higher a little bit? It's only higher by two tvachim, a few inches. I can go and put a board there. The board will be slightly at an angle, but it's not terrible. It's not a terrible slant. If you don't have three tvachim between, it's only one tefach, two tvachim. No! Gezustra akumihi. People are going to say about this that the gezustra, that the porch is slightly at a slant. It really means that the board is slightly at a slant, that it's not exactly straight, it's a little bit crooked. Because to be able to go and walk from one to the other, to carry from one to the other, it's a little bit awkward. It's not exactly parallel. If it's a little bit higher, you're going to have to put your gate will have to go up a little bit or go down a little bit. And if it's one sticking out more than the other, then you can't just put the board straight and flat. You're going to have to put it at a bit of an angle. So that's what Nimor says. As long as it's less than three tvachim, it's still navigable and manageable. But more than three tvachim, it's already problematic. Okay, Zok the Mishnah. We had this already yesterday. Zok the Mishnah, Matbein. Matbein is a haystack. It's those places where you can't find needles. So what happens by the Matbein? Shebein shtei chatzeres. Yeah, okay, you know, got to make up for the lack of scholarship we make up with a little humor. Okay, Matbein, so if you have a haystack, Shebein shtei chatzeres, between two chatzeres, Gavoy asor tvachim, if it's 10 tvachim tall, then that's an effective machitza. As long as it's standing, it's an effective machitza. So automatically, since it's a wall, it's not a wall made out of concrete, it's a wall made out of hay. Oh, hey, so what is? But lamasa, you have a wall, so you have two separate chatzeres, A and B, each one makes its own erev, but you can't go and make an erev together because the haystack is smack in the middle, doesn't allow you to go from one place to the other. Now, what happens if I have some animals, and the animals are hungry? Says the Mishnah, I can let my animals go and feast on this haystack. What's the chiddush over here? The chiddush is that I'm not worried that as a result of the feasting, that the haystack is going to start collapsing, and from 10 tvachim, it's going to become 9, or 8, or 7. I'm not gozer, I'm not choshish. Avad, it can happen, but I don't have to be concerned. The reason why I don't have to be concerned, says Rashi, is because most animals don't eat that much that they're going to upset the integrity of the 10 tvachim height of the haystack. But what happens if, in fact, nismaita tevim yasor tvachim? What happens if, in fact, they do such a good job that they eat and they eat and they eat and they eat, and now the haystack is less than 10? And as we'll see in the Gemara, and Rashi already points out now, we don't have to be talking about dafka on Shabbos. It could be during the week that they have eaten the haystack, or some of the hay is blown away, or whatever. It is now reduced to below the 10 tvachim level. At this point, it is low enough that it's no longer an effective machitza, and therefore the two sides of the chatzeres and the both sides are not deemed to be chatzer A and chatzer B, but they are a united chatzer AB. They are now merged together because there is no wall. Yeah, there's a wall of a haystack, but that's so low that you can easily walk over it or hand things over, pass over it, and therefore it's considered to be one chatzer and not two separate chatzers. Good. So the Mishnah, we said that you can allow your animals to go and eat from the haystack. Don't over here be overly generous to your animals. That since our Mishnah says you can allow the animals to eat from the haystack, I'm the owner of the animal, I'm going to go along with the animal, I'm going to take along my kupa, talking about a place that you're able to carry, because until now you have the haystacks you're able to carry, and guess what, I'm going to go and take some of the hay, I'm going to put it into the kupa. The hay is not mukta because the Mishnah says you can go give it to animals to eat, so I'm taking some of the hay, putting it into the kupa, and I want to feed it to the animal. No, don't do that. Why shouldn't you do that? Says Rashi, because it's one thing that you say about the animal that it's not going to eat that much, and I'm not worried about the integrity of the haystack that it might fall in to below 10 tvach. But if I'm going to put into the kupa, I might decide to be generous to my animal. I might put in an extra kazais and an extra avias and an extra kebeya, plenty of shiurim for the animal. And guess what? By the time I'm finished and Yankel and Beryl are finished, there won't be any hay left. So therefore, don't put it to the kupa. So that's the first pshat of Rashi. Second pshat of Rashi is that because of the fact that I want the haystack to remain here as an effective wall between the two chatzeroids, then in fact the hay is mukta. As far as the animal concerns, it's not mukta because animals are not makbid on hilchas mukta. However, I, being a Jewish human, I have to be makbid, so therefore I can go put it into my kupa. Frank Dimara, ula oikmi shari. So it sounds like, although I cannot go and take any of the hay and put it into my kupa and then feed it to the animal, but I'm allowed to take the animal and say, here, start eating. Gesundheit, macha brucha, start eating from the hay. That would be permissible. The same Rav Huna says, in the name of Rav Chanina, the mamin odmes behemtei al gabi asovim b'shabbos. A person is allowed to go and schlep his animal and have him, not schlep, literally, but it means he can have his animal go and graze on top of the asovim, on top of the grass on Shabbos. However, if there happens to be a mukam of mukta, he shouldn't allow the animal to go and stand there over the mukta. Now, the question is, what's the difference between the asavim and the mukta? And the answer is, to go and uproot asavim on Shabbos is an issur d'oraisa of koitzer. I'm not afraid that the owner of the animal might go and uproot some of the asavim and say, here, animal, take and eat. That's a issur d'oraisa. However, begami mukta, since mukta is only drabanan, the person might not be that cautious and that careful. If he's going to allow the animal to stand on top of the mukta, he might pick up some of the mukta and give it and feed it to the animal to eat. Ah, Zokti Gemara. So I see that when you're dealing with a situation of drabanan, then you got to be even more careful and don't be mab the odom on the behemtoi. And behemtoi next to the place where he's grazing. So the shver from Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, you're just not allowed to go and take any of it and put it into your kupa, but it's mash, but you could be mamid the behemah there and let it go and stand and eat. How can you let it go and stand and eat? You might come to taking some of that tvua and putting it into the basket and giving it to him. And what's going to happen is, you're going to have less than 10 tvachim. And then you're going to have problems derabbanan of carrying in these chatzeros. Can you merge the two chatzeros, or are they separate chatzeros? These are shyness of derabbanans, the gabi these are ruvi chatzeros. And according to the second pshat of Rashi, you might come to go and touch and pull off some of the hay, and that is all mukta. And we're saying, ein mamet od mesbehemte al gabi mukta b'shabbos. So I got a big problem. How could you allow the animal, even not taking and putting into your kupa, how can you lead the animal and let it stand there on top of the haystack or next to the haystack and eat from it? You got derabon and dikha shaylus. Everything more dekoyim lo be'apa. It's not that you actually leave the animal there, but rather the animal, of course, being an animal, can walk in all directions. The animal cannot read signs because it doesn't know English or Hungarian that well, and so therefore it might go to the right, to the left. What you're going to do is you're going to stand in the opposite direction of the haystack and not let the animal go anywhere other than to the haystack. So it's not that I'm leading the animal, I'm just blocking all other exit routes so the animal is going to go to the haystack. That's okay, because then I'm not being mamid esbehemta gabi mukta. I'm just letting the animal go on its own. If it goes on its own, that's okay. Then I don't have to worry about the potential prohibitions, derabanan, of taking any of the hay and handing it over to the animal. Okay, so we answered Rav Huna. But Frank Di Mariet, what did Rav Huna start saying? Lo yiten l'toich kupasai tevin, don't put any tevin into your kupa to be able to feed it to the animal. Frank Di Mariet, we have a brisa which is directly on point. Vosok the brisa. Until now we spoke about a haystack between two chatzeros. Now we're talking about a house which is in between two chatzeros, which is full of tevin, full of hay, or full of straw. V'atani will learn the brayza by yishebein shtei chatzeros umelohu tevin. Now, the Mora doesn't give us the full picture. Rashi tells us, that there were in fact three houses that were connected to one another. And you have a chotzer all the way to the right of the three houses, and a chotzer all the way to the left of the three houses, and you have these three houses in the middle. And the middle house of the three is the one that they filled up with tevin, they filled up with straw. And Rashi says, and it's talking about that the other two houses were psuchim l'soichai, were open to that middle house. Rashi doesn't tell us, but we'll see later in the Gemara, that one of the two houses belonged to him. So therefore, Reuven owns two houses. A middle house, in which they filled it up with straw. He also owns the left-hand house. The right-hand house belongs to somebody else. Okay. Anyway, what's going on over here? So you have this Baish Ben Shtei Chatzeres, Umelo Tevin, and they filled up that middle house full of tevin, full of straw. Because they filled it up to the top, and we're assuming that the height of the house with the straw was at least 10 tvachim tall, then the two chatzeros have this divided wall in between, this Chinese wall known as this house with the full of tevin. So it's like the haystack of our Mishnah. It's an effective barrier, and therefore you can only make two separate eruvin, eruv in chatzer A, and a separate eruv in chatzer B. Now, the people that are coming from the right-hand side and from the left-hand side to this house, because the doors, the walls are down, the doors are open, you can easily come into this house. The people that live in the right-hand chatzer can come and take from the hay in that house and put it l'toich kupasai, they can go and put it into their boxes, v'yachil, to hand over and to feed their animals, v'zenoich l'toich kupasai v'yachil, they can do the same thing on the other side of the haystack. So before we continue on, here it says very, very clearly that people can bring their kupa and fill the kupa with hay and straw and take it out and hand it over to their animals to eat, which is just the opposite of what Rav Huna said. Rav Huna said, "Bovad shelo yitin l'toich kupas v'yach." And that's the Mora's kasha. But before we answer the kasha, we continue on the brisa. Nismaida tevin miyud tvachim. What happens if everybody and everybody and everybody takes from the hay and from the straw and they put it into their kupa? Eventually, the haystack gets lower and lower, and now it's less than 10 tvachim high. What happens is that the two separate eruvin that we made in the two separate chatzeros are no longer effective, because by the fact that the wall has come tumbling down, that it's now less than 10, then both sides, both chatzeros, are merged into one, and they have to make a common eruv chatzeros for both instead of separate eruv chatzeros. So shnei masur. So Ketzer Weiser, what can this person do to save the situation and allow people to carry? What he can do is Noilis Beisoy. That's what I was saying before, that he owns both houses, the middle house where all the tevin in, and let's say the left house, what he'll do is Noel is basically he's going to lock it from the outside and not allow anybody, including himself, to get into the house. Umavatas Rishusoi, and then he'll be Mavatas Rishus to the people in the other side of the Chatzar and say, it's all yours. And then, who also for the rest of Shabbos, he'll be also going to be Mavatas Rishus. Chaver Mutter and his Chaver and any other Anchi Chatzar will be Mutter. They'll be able to go and carry in and out, etc. The Gemara is going to ask on the Amud Beis, this is the first time I heard that besides Bittul Rishus, you also have to have Ne'ilas Bayis, that you also have to lock and seal the house. Mitchell will talk about that on the Amud Beis. And then not only are we talking about a house that's full of Tevin, but now we go back to Guv. Rashi says Guv means a bar, similar to the ditch that we spoke about before. A Guv Shel Tevin, Shebein based Chumash Shabbos. Now we're getting to Tchumen Halachis, that you have a large bar, think of a charitz, think of a cistern, whatever, and it's wide, and it is smack in the middle between two Tchumen, like two cities. And if it's right in between two cities, the Tchum of each city ends smack in the middle of the bar. Right? You started from the outskirts of the city, you measure 2,000 Amis, the 2,000 Amis end in the middle of this Guv. And you go from the other city, on the other side, the twin city, you also measure 2,000 Amos, it also ends smack in the middle. What's the din? Then everybody can go and take from their side of the bar. People on the right side can take from the right side of the bar. People on the left side can take from the left side of the bar. And we're not afraid that they might come to be machlif one with the other. We're going to talk about this again on the Amud Beis. But let's get back to the kasha. Ketani Mias, we said in the middle of this braiso, Zenoit li toichu basa v'yachav, Zenoit li toichu basa v'yachil. And Rav Huna said, Uvad shil, lo yitein li toichu basa v'yachil. Everything more amri, bias came in the ikar tikra, ki mifchis minkerolei milza, hachalei minkerolei milza. There's a difference between the two cases in the fact pattern. Aramish is talking about a matbein that's a haystack in the middle of the street. It's between two chatzeirois. If people are going to go and take little pieces here, little pieces there, put into their kupa, eventually the 10 tefach is going to get lower and lower. It's going to get 9.5, it's going to get 9, it's going to be 8. And to the average observer who cannot go and start measuring with precision just by looking at it, you don't really notice that it's below 10, and therefore you're going to be machshel people, that it's no longer an effective barrier, and therefore you have to make one eder for both chatzeders together. However, inside a house, since until now we're assuming that the top of the haystack was basically to the top of the ticker, or very close to the top of the ceiling, so as it gets lower and lower, and yesterday you couldn't see any space over, now I can see shadows from the other side, I can see that there's a picture on the other side of the wall, so you can see that it's gotten lower and lower, so that's minkara. If people were to go and take a lot of hay until the haystack gets lower and lower than 10 tefachim, people will notice and say, oh, stop, don't take any more, Rabbi say, otherwise we're going to affect the ability to go and carry in Shabbos. But out in the street, you don't notice when it's gotten lower and lower. Okay, if it's less than 10, both are asur. When I'm if it's 10, sure, it's mut. Now let's go back to the house case. In other words, we're not focusing on the Mishnah, we're focusing on the Braisa. The Avagav de Medalia Tikra Tuva, even if it happens to be much less than the Tikra. Since the Lashon HaBraisa is Nismayit Hatem Me'asara Tvachim, doesn't say when it gets lower than the ceiling, so the ceiling could theoretically be 15 Tvachim, 20 Tvachim, 30 Tvachim, it might be tall ceilings, like the good old houses have, the good old apartments have here on the west side. You have 8, 9, 10 foot ceilings. It's really gorgeous. It's beautiful. So now you have your haystack, which is only the 10 tefachim. As long as it's 10 tefachim tall, it's a good barrier. We have a gavda medalia tikra tuba, even though the ceiling is much higher. Shema minila chayru, we can go and bring a raya from this case to a machloikis that we had about 8 or 9 days ago in the Gemara, about mechitza shein magiyos letikra shman mechitzais. You remember over there we're talking about a very large Truskin. Anyway, it was a very large hall, a very large ulam, and in that ulam, they had 8 families were living there, presumably temporarily, and they had makeshift machitzis in between one family and the other. Right, so we had that in the Mishnah. It was a machlok b'sham b'sil, and the Gemara dealt with it a little bit at length. Anyway, we'll go back to the Mishnah, you'll find it. We had the Mishnah there with the eight families. And then we said, how do we make that these families are eight separate groups? Because they were machitzes in between. And the Mishnah said over there, what happens, how tall were those machitzes? Did they come all the way to the Tikra, or didn't they come all the way to the Tikra? So there was a machloikis. If it got all the way to the Tikra, then everybody agreed that that was considered to be separate groups. But if it didn't get all the way to the Tikra, it only got to part way towards the Tikra, even though it was 8 or 10 tefachim tall, the Gemara said that that was not sufficient because it didn't hit the Tikra. Anyway, there was a machloikis over there. So getting back to our Gemara now, so our Gemara says, the Chorya can be poshit from our Braisa, that even though these are machitzes, she'ain magiyas the Tikra, you say it would be much smarter if I would just look at the service of Shas. Ayin Bey's Amid Aleph. Ayin Bey's Amid Aleph. Oh. Chamisha Chaburis Sheshovsu Betraklin Echad. Five Chaburis in one Traklin. Traklin was a very large hall. And, like a wedding hall type of thing. So, Machlek B'Sham B'Sil. You have an Erev L'chol Chaburah V'Chaburah, or one Erev for all. Anyway, so one of the things we discussed was how tall were the machitzas. So from our braisa, we can bring a raya, the machitzas magiyas latikra. As long as the machitza is 10 tvachim tall, even if it doesn't go all the way to the ceiling, shman machitza, it has the name of a machitza. So we can be poshut that machloikas and that shaila from this braisa. Amr Abayi says, no, you have no right. Hachal Abayi is shloisha osir chosir mashu askinan. You're talking about that the Abayi is the two, the ceiling, you have, it's 13 minus a mashu, which means what 12.9 tvachim. And the teven, and the matbein, the amount of the straw, was up to asara, was 10 tvachim. So since 10 tvachim is within 2.9 tvachim of 12.9 tvachim, so that's what we call within the 3 tvachim of lavud. And therefore, even though, you're right, the Tevin didn't get physically all the way to the ceiling, but halachically it was all the way to the ceiling. Why? Because the top of the haystack of the 10 was within 3 tvachim of the ceiling, so based on lavud, we fill up that empty space as if it went all the way to the ceiling.
Lavud means...
is a special halacha we had at the beginning of the sechta, which is halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. In other words, there's no particular logic to it. So Kodesh Baruch Hu gave a special rule book, so to speak, to Moshe Rabbeinu. And one of the rules is that if you have, when you're dealing with machitzos, when you're dealing with any type of partitions, if the partition is missing anything less than 3 tvachim, then we deem it as if it's closed up. So for instance, if you have a sukkah, and your sukkah has to be, walls have to be 10 tvachim tall, and your sukkah machitzas are only 7.5 tvachim tall, you can hang them up from by putting up posts and hang them, and then even though there's some space on the ground which is open, as long as it's less than 3 tvachim, you deem the machitzas as if they go all the way to the ground, and that's lavud, as if it's closed up.
You add it up.
You add it up. See, here too we add up from the top of the haystack till the ceiling, as long as it's less than 3 tvachim, it's as if it's filled up. Okay, so then these are machitzas which are magiyos l'tikra, even though physically not, but halachically yes. So that was Abayi's pshat. Rav Huna bar Yehoshua Amar, I have a different pshat. Afilu teima Abayi's asara. It could be that the whole house, the tikra is up to 10. The teven shivu mashu, and the teven goes to 7 and a little bit. And it's based on the same principle as a bayit, dechol pochas mishloish kolav adami. Again, since it's less than 3 tefachim, we fill it up, so this 7.1 is as if it's 10, and as if it's magiyos all the way to the tikra. Okay, so basically the same teretz, it's just we're talking about a different metzias, where a bayit said it's talking about that the house was 12.9, and the haystack went until 10, so it's less than 3, and the second man, the yamar, this was Rav Huna bar Yehoshua, said that it's talking about that the ceiling was 10, but the haystack went to 7.1. Okay, again, the same principle, love it. So, but let's think about this. It said in the Mishnah that if it got lower than Asara, right, Nismait, Hatevim, Behasara, Shneim, Asurim. Once it's less than 10, we got a problem. We don't have 10 anymore. So that makes sense, because Abaye said that the haystack was 10, and the thing was originally 12.9. It went lower than the 10. It's lower than the Tikra. We got props. You're saying that if it's less than 10, both of them are aser. It's not true. According to Vunab Rabbi Yeshua, as long as it remains shivu mashu, it's still mutter. What are you saying that less than 10, it's aser? He doesn't mean physically less than 10. He means from the halachic 10. According to Vunab Rabbi Yeshua, I had a halachic 10 of 7.1 plus air, which was filled up based on lavud. If now you have a decline where the amount of the hay is no longer 7.1 tall, it's only 7 tall, or 6.9, so now you don't have the benefit of lavud, it's less than teiras asara, then it's not an effective machitza. Okay, shtei vayit in the Mishnah, shnei nasur. So parshim shan, the Mishnah is that the animals, not the Mishnah, this is going still right on the Brisa, that the animals are nibbling and eating and eating and eating and eating from the haystack, and people are allowed to put into their kupa because it's nicker, like we said in the Gemara in the Amud Aleph. So once that happens, if now it gets less than 10, Shnei Nasur, it becomes Osur, Pashim Shad becomes Osur in the middle of Shabbos. Friday night it was Mutter. Shabbos morning it was Mutter. Shabbos afternoon, I see that the haystack has now declined, and now it's lower than 10. Osur. Oh, Shemami Diyurim Abon B'Shabbos Asur. That if there are changed circumstances in Shabbos, that new Diyurim come in, it makes it Osur. What's Shver? Because we said earlier on in Masechta, remember Barry asked this a couple of days ago, don't we have the principle of Hoyl V'Hutra Hutra? Since it was Hutra at the beginning of Shabbos, it should be Mutter for the entire Shabbos. So why would it stop in the middle of Shabbos just because it's now less than 10? But Friday night it was kosher. It should remain Mutter the rest of Shabbos. Everything you want to do, imit me esmoil. When the Mishnah said that it became lower than 10, it doesn't mean it became lower than 10 on Shabbos. It means to say that on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, this haystack was 12 tvachim tall. But as all the animals keep on nibbling and eating and eating and nibbling, and there were perhaps it was a draft and a storm as well, so guess what? On Friday afternoon, it got nismayet lower than 10. Now it's only 9. Oh, it's only 9. You no longer can survive with two separate Eruvin, Chatzar A with its Eruv, and Chatzar B with its Eruv. Now the two are merged, and you have to make one Eruv for both together. But Taka didn't happen on Shabbos, it happened from Friday. So now, what happens if you have this situation and the person realizes, uh-oh, people are not going to be able to carry because it's lower than 9. You know what? Ketzer Oysa, the owner of that house, which is in the middle, what he can do is he can close up. The house in the middle, he can't close up because Rashi said there are no walls there. The first and third houses have immediate entranceway access to the middle shkoyach, egress and ingress, to the middle hay, which is in the middle house. But what the person who owns one of the two houses to the right or to the left, what he can do is he can lock up his house from the outside, not allow anybody in, including himself. He'll be mevatel his reshus in the two houses, both the one that he just locked, as well as the middle house we have all in the tavern. So though he won't be able to carry, everybody else will be able to carry because of bitul reshus, like we've had a number of times already in our masechta. But Frey Timora, why do you have to have both? You have to have both ne'ilas bayis and bitul reshus. Tarti! L'choyer bitul reshus is enough, like we've had throughout our masechta. Everything marachi kamer. Oil no is basic. Oil mavad reshus. It's one or the other. It's not both. You can either do ne'ilas bayis or bitul reshus, but not both. In other words, you have a choice as opposed to saying that you have to do both. You have to do both. What the Gemara is saying is that I am concerned not for the integrity of the Erev. The integrity of Erev, all I have to do is bitul reshus, and then everybody else can carry. But I'm worried about the mevatel reshus himself, that he might mistakenly forget that he was mevatel reshus. Right? After all, throughout the year, normally he participates in the Erev, in the normal cases throughout our Masechta, and so therefore normally he's able to carry back and forth. He's going to go and forget that he was mevatel reshus. So to go and ingrain it into his mind, we tell him, lock the door. Even you don't go into your house to Shabbos. Sleep by the neighbor. Don't go in, so you won't have to worry about that you're going to accidentally come to carry. In fact, Rashi says that based on this, wherever we've had throughout our Masechta so far, Bitul Rishus, always throw in Ulza Ne'ilas Bayis, that he also locked his house. He locked himself out so that he shouldn't, Chas V'Shalom, come to be Toed, to make a mistake and to carry. Back to the Mishnah.
What's he going to be locked in? He has to have another door, I guess, somehow.
So he'll have to sleep at the neighbor's house. He'll have to knock on the door and say, can you please do me a favor? I allowed the people to nibble too much at my haystack. Now it's slower. Now everybody's in trouble. Nobody can go and carry. I want to be mezakeh everybody in this joint chutzah to be able to carry. I'm being mevatel my rishus. I'm locking my door. But now I have nowhere to sleep. Can I sleep in your house overnight? Of course. You're such a gracious person. You locked yourself out to be able to allow everybody else. You're such a good-hearted person. I'm not going to let you in. Everybody in the chutzah will allow them to come in because they will realize how selfless this individual is. Anyway, so who also from that point on, he won't be able to go and carry the whole Shabbos? Chaver Mut. I mean, that's always the way Bitl Rishus works, right? The guy that's Mavatl Rishus can no longer carry. He doesn't own anything here, but everybody else can. It's talking about that the other person on the other side of the fence, on the other side of the house, he said to him, you know what? You've been so gracious. I also, you think you're the only gracious person in town? I'm also selfless. I'm also gracious. And I'm going to go be Mavatl Rishus back to you. So for the last 2 hours, you had a Bitl Rishus, but now I'm going to Mevatl to you, and now I'm going to lock my door, and you can go and use your property again and open your door. That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah, who also he remains irrevocably Osir until the end of Shabbos, and you can't go and transfer back, Bitl Rishus is back and forth, as you remember the Gemara said before, because it looks like almost a chukah utlula. It looked like a mockery. I give it to you, and you now ricochet, you hit it back to me. You can't do that. Same thing applies if you have this bar in between two cities, and the tchum of city A ends middle of the bar, tchum of city B ends in the middle of the bar, each one can go and take from his side. What's a chiddush? So let's rechalav keep the yom tchum in the araisa. Now the same thing is done with osi lechalufei. If you hold the din of tchum in his minat toira, so then it would make sense to have a gzeir drabban. Meaning, if it's tchum in drabbanan, we don't normally allow for two drabbanan. However, if tchum is the araisa, I have to be careful that people from city A, if they are not careful in the bar, they might take from the other side of the bar, which is no longer in my tchum, it's the other tchum. You're not going to go and take from the other tchum on Shabbos. And same thing, of course, vice versa. The people that live in city B might go and take from the tchum, from the tevin of the tchum of city A, and therefore we should make such a gzeirah, that we're not goyzer, we're not worried that the A people will take from the B, the people take from the A, and you can leave it the way it is, and everybody can go and take from their own tchum. Okay, on to the next Mishnah. Mishnah is quite straightforward. Ketzad mishtatvim b'mavoi. Now, although our Mishnah says mishtatvim b'mavoi, all the Mefarshim say lav daf mishtatvim b'mavoi, the same thing would apply to a ruve chatzeres. Until now, we spoke about how do you make your normal Erev. You have one person going to the other, to the five people that live in the chatzer, or in this case, you have 10 people living in the mavoi, and you go to everybody and say, would you like to contribute towards the Erev for this Shabbos so that everybody will be able to go and carry? Of course, I want to carry too. So I give him my 2 sudas, you give him your 2 sudas, he gives in his 2 sudas. Now what happens if instead you cannot go and get everybody because everybody's busy running around, coming and going? So you want to be mezakeh everyone. You can. How can you be mezakeh? Take minyachas achavi, to take a large chavis barrel. Barrel typically is full of wine, but it doesn't have to be wine. It could be a dry barrel. It's full of bulkalach. The point is that it's full, and there's enough for all the b'nei mavoi. V'ayman, the person can declare, harizuluchal b'nei mavoi. I'm giving this to everybody in the mavoi. I'm b'mezakeh for all of them, so that it's as if each one of them contributed. In a sense, I'm giving everybody a present that I'm giving them the tul bukalach. You don't have to put it in. I'll put it in on your behalf. Now, I said it could be full of rolled. It could be full of wine as well. Because we learned early in our Masechta that Bakoil Ma'arvin Umishtadfim. That was the beginning of a new parak. In fact, that's the beginning of the Mishnah tomorrow on the back of, on the bottom of Amud Beis. Bakoil Ma'arvin Umishtadfim. You can make an Erev, or you can make a Shetufim of voice from any food or any drink, with the exception of Melach Umayim, except for salt and water. But otherwise, anything and everything can be used for Tusudas. So, you can have even wine. And what's the shear of wine? We had a machloikas earlier, but Pashit is two revias in, one revias for Friday night, one revias for Shabbos, two meals, that's enough. So if I have 20 people in the chatzar and the mavoi, I make sure that there are 40 revias in of wine inside this barrel, and then I can be mezakeh. Now, I myself cannot be mezakeh because it belongs to me. I have to get it out of my rishus to be mezakeh for you. So I have to get a third party to go mi mezakeh. So what I can do is mezakeh lehen ayidei benoi ubitag doilim vayidei abdiv shechosay ivrim vayidei ishtoi. I can get other independent people, my children that are really doilim, they're not somech al shulchani, and they're beyond bar mitzvah, or my evra shifcho, which are ivrim, and even my wife, and they can all be mezakeh. So I go and by the way, this is done nowadays too, that when people are making an eruv chatzeros, one person goes and buys a pekel matzis, he gives it to his wife or b'nei bita gdoilim or whatever, and he says to them, please pick it up, and we'll see in the Gemara that you have to pick it up a tefach. That's a hagbo'ah. When you do that kinyan hagbo'ah, you say, I'm being mezakeh on behalf of all the people who live in this mavi, in this chatzar, who want to carry on Shabbos, and the mezakeh for all of them. Not only for the people that live here, but also for visitors and tourists, etc. They should all be able to go and carry. You can do that. Aval inu mezakeh le'idei b'nei yubitak tanim. Because they don't have an independent hand. Their hand is like my hand. So I haven't accomplished anything by giving it to my cotton and say, you be mezakeh, even if he would have enough das to be mezakeh. Yodon ki yodoi. Toises asks, why don't you say the same thing with Gabi Ishtoi? Because we know Yad Isha ki Yad Vala. So you look at the Toises at the bottom and it gives an answer. Anyway, so we said you give me mezakeh. Says the Gemara, Amr of Yehuda, Chavi shol shitufim bevoiz. The Chavi said, we're talking about tzarech la'abiyam and a karka tefach. You can't just leave it on the ground. You have to do a kinyan. So you have to tell your b'no yubitei hagdoilim, pick up the Chavi. Hopefully it's not too heavy. They can pick it up at tefach, put it down, and be mezakeh for everyone. Amr of...
You have to find a neighbor, though. You could do it all in your own house. Because normally I thought you had to go find a neighbor. And
that's what our mission is telling us. You don't have to find the neighbors. If you don't want to worry about bittul rishus and worry about calling everybody at the last minute on Shabbos, I'll be right over. I'm going to bring it. I'm going to schlep it. And then the guy forgets. Okay. Best thing is just to be mezak on your own. Great. Yeah, you can do that. That's not a problem. Amr of Yudah, but you got to go and pick up the chavias etefach. Amr of Hani Tarti Mili. The following two halachos, Sabi de Pumbedisa Amrinu, the elders of Pumbedisa, they said those two halachos. Who are the elders of Pumbedisa? Rashi, Rav Yehuda, who we have all the time in the Gemara, v'yeshivasi, and people in his yeshiva together, they were the Sampi de Pumbedisa. Amrinu, they said two things. Choda, ha, one halach is what we just learned. Rav Yehuda, that Sabi de Pumbedisa, they got to go and pick up the chavias. That was number one. Idach, number two is Hamikadish Imtom Lugmav Yotze, the Lavla Yotze, a person who's making Kiddush. The Kiddush has to be made of a kois full of a revias. What happens afterwards when he wants to drink? He doesn't want to drink the full revias. It happens to be very strong wine. He doesn't want it. As long as he drinks Malay Lugmav, the amount of wine that fills up his cheeks, Yotze is Yotze. But if he drank less than that, Lo Yotze, he's not Yotze. So the Sabi Pumbedisa said, yeah, those in the halacha. So that's two things that the Sabi Pumbedisa said. Amr of Chaviva, Hanami Sabi Pumbedisa Amrino. I have another thing that the Sabi Pumbedisa said. The Amr of Yoram Ishmael, Oysa Medura Lachaya, Bishabbos. What happens if you have a Chaya? Chaya means you have a woman in labor, and she is experiencing heavy duty labor, and we know that that is a sakana. So, if she happens to be cold, Oysa Medura, you're allowed to go and light a fire on Shabbos. Normally, you're allowed to make a light a fire. That's one of the 39 malachas. That's Havora.
That's
Pekuach Nefesh. So, some of Minah, when the Talmidim heard that, they assumed Chai is a special case. The Chai in L'Choyla Loi. But any other Choyla, this would not be permissible. And they thought B'Moisek Shah must be during the cold winter days. In B'Moisek Hamaloi, but not during the summer. Itma, that's what we thought. However, Mechia Barav and Omer Shmuel, No, on both accounts. Hikizdam. Hikizdam means a person that just let out blood. Then it's done and now feels cold. Ooh, I let out blood. And by the way, if any of you have ever donated blood, you'll find, particularly if you happen to be skinny, like my good friend Uri, you'll find that after you let out blood, especially if it's a pint or more, then afterwards you feel taka cold because the blood gives you the blood circulation throughout the body and you get cold. Anyway, so that type of person, oisalei madura b'Shabbos, you're allowed to go and make a fire even on Shabbos. That filled with kufas tamas, even during the summer months. So we see, number one, it's not just for chaya, it's even for a chola. And we're not talking about a chola that chas v'sholem is, 105 temperature, he's in the ICU in the hospital. But we're talking about hikizdam, and he's freezing now. So it's a, although we might not look upon this as a chola mesukin, it's a chola that could become a chola mesukin quickly if you don't save in the situation. So you're allowed to make a fire even during the summer months. That answers the second part. Good. I have another halacha that the Sabbath of Medisa said. What was the other halacha? The Itmar. Ezi Asherista. We know it says in the Torah that an Asherah tree is Aser Bano because it's an Avodah Zarah. Now, the Asherah tree typically doesn't have a sign on it. Rabbi said, this is an Asherah tree. So how can I determine whether an Asherah tree is an Asherah tree or not? Asherah tree is a tree that the Goyim worshipped of Avodah Zarah. But what happens if I don't see any worshippers worshipping? I don't know if it's an Asherah. If you see that the church has hired security guards to go and protect the Asherah, in a way, if they protect it, after all, it's God itself. Why do you have to go and the guard should be protecting the troops? Well, yeah, you see, I guess this guard doesn't work so well, or maybe he's sick. Whatever, anyway, so.
He's not in the security.
Maybe
he's
not in the security business. Sorry, maybe it's.
It's a butler.
It's a butler?
Yeah, so that he services the tree.
Ah, he serves the tree. Okay, very good. He serves.
Mm-hmm. He serves the drinks.
And then the others serve it, so there's a service. Good. Anyway, so that you have security guards, and they tell me very there. And they're very careful that nobody should eat from the Paris, because the Paris, that's part of the God. So then you know it's godly, and this happens to be an Asherah tree. Shmuel Omer, keep going to the Amri. That he heard, not that he saw that there were security guards, but he heard that the people were saying that tomorrow, the dates of this tree, don't eat them, don't drink them, don't use them, because they are miyuchad special for shechar, for manufacturing beer. The Bein Nitzrafi, Rashi said Bein Nitzrafi is the name of an Avodah Zarah. It's for the famous Nitzrafi church denomination. They drink this date beer, thank you. The Shasi Libyim Chagamah, they drink it on Kratzmach on one of their big, big holidays. And therefore, that is the halacha. Mi Amru Li, Sabi de Babdisa Hilchasa Kabasa Shmuel, Halacha Takalak Shmuel, that if you noticed a tree where they're very careful not to allow people to eat or drink from the tree, but rather they go and take the smarm, they use it for beer, for the Bein Nitzrafi, for their Kratzmach, for their big holidays, then you know it's an Asherah. So bottom line is, we've now enumerated three or four halachas where the Sabi de Pompadisa said them. We got into this because the first one was our case that you have to pick up the Chobiyas at Tefach. Then we had those other halachas that are also said by the Sabi de Pompadisa.
Is an Asherah a species, or is it just like, oh, that's the tree we're going to work with? Any tree? Is it,
it's a good question. Anybody on the...
I think it's a type of tree.
Yeah.
Anybody
have any questions?
Yes.
Okay, so Robert, before you get to your question, Ed has asked his question whether an Asherah has to be a particular type of tree. I think popularly people think that it's pine trees, and many people think that that is the origins of the Christmas tree. In fact, I believe they say B'Shem Ramosha Zatzal, that Ramosha felt that a Christmas tree, which is a pine tree, is not just a custom of the Goyim, to make things more festive, but in fact that the pagans used to worship those trees, and that initially when the missionaries came and made and converted all of them to Christianity, they said, but what's going to be with our trees? No problem. On our biggest holiday of the year, we're going to make your tree in a grace of machitin. We're going to put on lights, we're going to put presents underneath, and we're going to have everybody go and clap and patch, and therefore, one more person, and therefore, we're going to incorporate it as part of our holiday. So that's why I think a lot of people think the pine trees happen to be a shade. But halakhically, I think that any tree that worshippers worship have the status of a shade. I don't think it has to be a pine tree. I think it could be any tree.
I always thought that it was a species.
Anyway, Robert, you had a question.
Yeah, before we differentiated before the Eruv of a Mavai could be swine to Eruv of Chatzeres, which has to be with bread. Here we are not differentiating.
If you look at the Mishnah on Daf Pei Omid Beis, turn to the next page, which is tomorrow's blot, you'll see on the very bottom of the Omid, the Mishnah begins, Ba'akoyl ma'arvin u'mishtatvin, you can make an Erev, or a Shituv Mavois, from any type of food item, except for Mayim and except for Melech. And just like this Mishnah, if you want to turn back to Daf Chof Vov Omid Beis, we started the new perek, the third perek of the Masechta. It says there too, Ba'koil ma'arvin u'mishtatvin chutz min ha'mayim min ha'melech. So there's no difference between a ruv v'chatzeres and shtuv v'mavoy. For these purposes, you can use any food or drink except for water and except for salt. The obvious question is, why is the Mishnah repeated twice? And the Gemara is going to ask that in Mi'at Hashem tomorrow and on Daf Pei Aleph. Any other questions?
We learned before that Shituf HaMegwais is good with Yaid, not with Eruv HaChatzeres, and bread is good for both. We learned this before.
What we said is that according to everyone, you can do Shituf HaMegwais, bread for both. So you're now pointing out that there was a machlekes between Rebbe and the Rabbonon whether you can go and use wine for Eruv HaChatzeres. Everybody held that for Shtuv Mavois you could use wine. The question was Eruv HaChatzeres because a resident, you're right. That's that Mandiyomar. But that's Rebbe, not the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan hold you can go and make an Erev or a Shituv with anything.
That was the minority opinion.
That was not the majority opinion. The majority opinion is you can that the two are interchangeable. You can use any food item or any drink except for Mayim Melech.
Thank you for clearing it. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you for reminding us of Rebbe. Shkoyach. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisrael. You mentioned Mechem to be continued tomorrow at approximately 7:45, 7:46, 7:47, because a couple of minutes later because of the nets. Kol Tov Hatzlachot.